Today, a reader. Tomorrow, a leader. A quote by Margaret Fuller.
Welcome, welcome, and welcome this morning to Champion Reads, brought to you by Champion Circle. Champion Circle is a accountability mastermind networking organization designed to help us accelerate our goals, our life, to achieve more, faster, easier, to make us faster, stronger, and better. I think that's the old $6 million man beginning. We can rebuild. But welcome, Champion Reads, again, part of Champion Circle. You can find out more about Champion Circle at mychampioncircle.com. We are brought to you with our executive producers, myself, Mr. Ian Sturmer, and joining us, our executive producer, the founder of Champion Circle, and all around really nice guy, the incredible Mr. John Kovacs Jr. So excited to have you here, John. Thank you.
Ian, thanks for the invitation. I always look forward to these book club discussions and, as we call it, Champion Reads. I feel like a champion. This book's really starting my year off right.
It is. Starting the year off right by starting the morning off right. That's a good way to bring that in. As I mentioned, Champion Reads, we talk about some of the best books out there and how they apply to our lives, how we can incorporate them into our lives. And I think this is one of the most incorporatable books that we've read. And for those of you just joining us, we are discussing the book, The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. Let's see, The Not-So-Obvious Secret Guaranteed to Transform Your Life Before 8 a.m. I'm looking over at the cover of that book. So jumping into it, Miracle Morning. First of all, we're not all morning people, and that doesn't mean we can't make a miracle out of it. whether we do it in the morning or the evening, he's really taken some of the time-tested principles and ideas and put them into a simple format that we can apply to our lives. And I'm going to throw out that word apply, because that's the big one I keep hitting in my life. I realized a little while ago, it's so much easier to read a book about improving your life than it is to improve your life. It's a lot more fun to read than to do. But The Miracle Morning lays out a simple routine. And I want to start by talking about that. He calls it SAVERS because we all love acronyms. And SAVERS stands for six principles that are six actions we can take to start our day off right. And they stand for silence, affirmations, visualization, exercise, reading, and scribing. And before you say, well, yeah, but I don't have 3 hours every morning to do all that stuff, we're going to give you a secret at the end how you can do it in just 6 minutes. But let's start out with just kind of going through those. The first of those six is silence. And he started, you know, Hal Elrod talks about how he started this idea. And initially he had meditation, but he wanted to make an easy acronym, so he called it silence. And silence can be anything from simply being quiet to, you know, meditating to breathing to praying, anything that lets you just shut out the outside world for a minute and I guess not be overwhelmed. I guess anything other than scrolling through TikTok could count as silence in the morning. And I want to look over to you, John, for some of your experiences. And I know we've talked before about this, and and kind of your morning part of silence, but I want to hear your thoughts and what do you do for silence in the morning? Because I know the Savers has been a big part of your life for a while now.
Yeah, and they're called Savers, I mean, for a reason. Yeah, he came up with a great acronym for this particular application. And they're Savers because it can't be a miracle without it saving your life, saving you from your current states and moving you towards your miracle state, which is the new and improved you, your best self. And that's what the Savers, quote unquote, are referencing. And I have been test trialing, you know, my morning rituals in many ways. And silence, I'll tell you, it's there is no particular order, but if you were to put them in a specific order, the way that the Savers is written out is a great way to start. When you first wake up, there's that moment. You have a choice, A or B. A, oh, it's morning, I need to get up. Or B, I get to get up. I'm excited. My brain is ready to take on the day. And so in a moment, you have a choice. You can make today better or you can make today like every other day. And silence is one of those ways to control that inner critic, that inner negativity, and to basically put it away and be sure that you'll start off with positivity, with energy. And the way to do that is, like you said, you mentioned off a bunch of really great ones. Meditation, prayer is one of my absolute favorites. Silence can be breathing. It could be a little bit of yoga or maybe some, you mentioned a version of yoga, Tai Chi or something like that. But I'll tell you what I've been doing. And Hal Elrod really recommends that one, you can do silence anywhere. Most people will do it in bed, but he recommends that you get up and get out of bed and go to a different room, not your bedroom, because the bedroom is psychologically associated with sleep and some of the most intimate parts of your life, right? So he recommends you remove yourself from your bedroom and go to a completely different room to begin your Savers. And I think that's an important one because when I am either too tired, too lazy, or in one of those plan A moments, I need to take a moment to transition my mind over to that the version B so that I'm definitely in a better mental space. So what I'll do is I'll lay in silence. I'll roll my ankles, I'll roll my wrists, really start to wake up. I call it yoga for the legs and yoga for the hands. And I'll do some little stretches here. And then I'll sort of, you know, safely and slowly roll out of bed. Now, I have a problem that I don't know if everyone else has, but I have four dogs in our house. Yikes, four dogs, which means any movement causes a stir. And so I've got to do is I've got to like slide under the sheets, like melt to the floor so that they don't think I'm like getting up to take them outside because they're listening right now.
Right.
And then I'll transform into a quick prayer of gratitude. You know, something like, I'm just grateful to be alive. I'm grateful for today. And then what I'll do is I'll slowly and quietly creep and tiptoe to another room where I have a yoga mat, and the yoga mat I can cross-legged sit. Some people call it pretzel, and I'll just sit there and I'll sort of sway and stretch my hips a little bit. Maybe do some omming where you breathe in and then you let it all out, and you let a little out, and then I'll start to do one and two different Savers at the same time, but we'll get into that in a little bit because I don't want to take away from it. But wrapping this up, I'll do a little meditation session where I'm just there in silence, taking it in, really thinking positivity. This is a great time to mix and match your Savers as well. And we'll get into the others, but this is a good time to do your visualization activities. This is a good time to do your affirmations. This is a good time to include other things, but the purpose is to be silent, to allow yourself the choice. Is today I choose, you know, this direction, or is this the day I'm going to choose to be my old negative self. And I think that's very, very important. Hal actually says, and I'll wrap this up, is he says, silence is all about reducing stress and improving your mental clarity. So by beginning each day with a peaceful and purposeful quiet. And I have a resource if you don't mind.
Yeah, please.
I'm going to grab my phone here. It's just off camera. And I have a really cool resource that I'd love to share with everybody. So I found out that there is a song out there that is, it's a meditation song. And it has actually been clinically tested by doctors and physicians and people who want to help with improving sleep, relaxation, and reducing stress. This is a very popular song in the psychology community. But the song is called Weightless, Weightless, Weightless. And it's by the group called Marconi Union. And I'll put it in the chat or I'll put it in the show notes. But it here's my phone, if you can see it. That's what the cover looks like, Marconi Union Weightless. Mm-hmm. And it is a song that has clinically been tested and helps reduce stress, anxiety, up to 65% in all its test subjects. And so, which means it may work for you up to, 65%, or it may reduce stress by like 80, 90%. A really, really great one. And it's about 6 minutes and 32 seconds long. So if you wanted to have like some sort of time-bound silence activity, you could play this song either in your earbuds or in another room. And it's very, very relaxing. It's very helpful. And it induces this place where you can go to where your mind really starts to clear out the negative and start to breathe in the positive. And it's got a bunch of, glass bowls and a bunch of other sounds that are at the high vibration of successful frequencies. So anyways, that's a resource that I have found to be very, very effective. And the last one I'll share with you, Ian, kind of just went off on all these resources, is that the song should bring up an idea for you. So whether you listen to Weightless or not, I'm sure there's a calming noise or music or something. And I know that the thing is called silence, but sometimes it's not about silence in the room. It's silence in the mind. You want to calm the mind. So there's two aspects to this. You can have absolute silence where you can hear the crickets, or you can fill the room with a silent with the sound that causes your brain to be silent, so that your brain can really, really relax and build clarity for the day. So those are some of my silence tips.
I like that. And you're a few steps ahead of me in this. I'm trying to build up and learn how to do some of these. And as you were talking and thinking about this, there's a word that popped out at me. And of course, as soon as I started this sentence, I forgot what that word was going to be. But it's, the silence is, I guess, purposeful is the word I wanted. So what I've kind of done, and I'm not going to recommend my methodology right now because I'm getting better at it, but I keep on the side of my bed a small vial of a caffeinated type of beverage. And when my alarm goes off, I reach over and I grab that and I drink that. And then I sit up in bed and kind of lean up against the headboard and close my eyes. And I've got a 10-minute snooze. And I know he says don't use a snooze, but I sit there and I slowly allow myself to wake up without thinking of anything, without doing anything. It's not a set meditation or anything like that, but I just let myself wake up. I don't jump up. I don't jump right into the day. I don't go to anything else, but I just allow myself to do that. And as I read through this book, I took the same thing that I was kind of doing before, except now I sit up instead of still laying there. But now it's purposeful. And I recognize the value in what I'm doing. And sometimes just knowing the value of what you're doing makes a difference. Even though the action might be the same, now I realize that that's my way of waking up. Now, someone else who is in my bed, and I won't give any names or anything there, but I see her roll over and instantly grab her phone and check her emails. And that's the first thing that she sees. And then she complains she's stressed out in the morning. Well, you know, wake up first. Don't grab it right away. Take that little bit of silence. And before we spend a whole session just on silence, kind of move into the next section of it. And for me, silence, I guess, goes to affirmations is the second one. And these don't have to be in that order. But I like what you said, where you take that silence into the meditation, or for me, a prayer also is one that works in the morning. And okay, I don't do affirmations. I know I need to. I know everyone says it's great. This thing in my mind says, you know, that's a bunch of malarkey. I'm not going to feel stronger just because I say I'm strong. I know it's valuable. I'm not putting it down. I haven't convinced myself yet. But what I can do is in my prayers, ask a higher power for strength, for help in doing things, for an understanding that I'm able to do things. And I think for me, that section of a prayer is an affirmation in a way, because I'm recognizing that I have an ability to do things from strength within me, as well as from help from a higher power, that I can do more than I'm doing right now, that I can be better, that I can achieve goals. So for me, that affirmation side, and I need to get better at other things. I need to just say, I'm going to try it for a week and see what happens. One of my goals this year was to put aside my ego and do things that I may not understand yet and see if they work. And yes, I'll do it soon. Don't worry. Quit bugging me, John. but I guess for affirmation side, that's kind of where I'm at now. Again, I'm putting words in your mouth because we've talked over the last few years about all of these things before. And affirmations is one that you've shared with me some. But how do affirmations help you? To put you on the spot, right?
Oh, that's okay. No, I love it. And first of all, I want to compliment you, Ian, because whether you're just getting started with the Savers or if you've been doing them for years, your method is your method. And that's why it becomes your miracle morning. Now, the scientific best results do include, you know, getting out of bed, going to a different room, doing these kinds of things. But again, we're building up to these because it's your miracle morning. Even just doing one of these habits a day will set you so further ahead. Great English, John, great grammar, but it'll put you so much further ahead than you were before. So just recognize, like, doing a little bit is enough. Doing a lot is going to just get you better results, but it doesn't mean you're not doing it right. So I love that you're saying that. And I love that, because people listening to this, I mean, they're going to say, well, you know, it's hard to get out of bed, or it's hard to calm the mind in the morning. What I love about affirmations, and I'll keep my suggestions brief so we can get through all of these. Affirmations were built to reprogram your mind to help you overcome fears or beliefs that are limiting your potential and causing you to suffer. Things that cause fear, anxiety, and suffering, like emails in the morning or even social media, because that puts you in a state of comparison. It is something I would highly, highly recommend against for anybody. But, you know, people can think of affirmations in many ways. I like to think of affirmations as manifestations. And I because an affirmation is just like, you know, like really positive and hypey and it's fun to say, but But a manifestation is a declaration, right? It's boom, I am this, I am strong. Okay. And, you know, even if it's not about you or it's about something that inspires you, I have found that affirmations can be a desire statement. And that's what we teach here at Champion Circle, which is Napoleon Hill's first step to riches. And he teaches you to write down a desire statement, which is a declaration of what you're going to achieve, and continue to repeat that. So any type of declaration is important. Let's dumb even that down though. Let's say you have a positive quote that really inspires you. Okay. And a positive quote, people love quotes. People love to quote other people. And reading a quote a day, even if it's just like a two-liner or a two-worder or whatever, or if it's a paragraph long, I mean, Marianne Williamson's quote is absolutely motivating. If you haven't checked out that one, I'll look it up here in just a minute and share it with you guys. But she's got amazing quotes. Or maybe you are a poem person. Maybe you're really in filled with poem or art or some sort of written word that really inspires you. It could be something like that. But affirmations is all about affirming that clarity and giving you purpose. Because when you transfer from silence to affirmations, you're now in a place where your body is receiving. Okay. If your body is a sponge, and you know what a sponge is, we've all used a sponge. If you're going to use a sponge to take in sudsy, clean, soapy water to clean out all the clutter in your life, then that's the good habit. But if you're going to use your sponge to soak up the dirty, nasty, nasty water that is used to clean the dishes or rinse the dishes off, that's not a good use of your sponge. So as a sponge, you can affirm, manifest, declare, quote, cite poetry, anything that inspires you. That's what affirmations are all about. And I mentioned earlier, I like to get into my silence and then I like to repeat my affirmations. If you ask me, I mostly just do declarations. What Napoleon Hill says, I go. And I do my, and I just read it. Like I don't have it memorized yet. By the end of my 90 first days, I do have it memorized by then, but I don't have it memorized now. Every 90 days, I do a different desire. And I just talk about what I'm working on and I remind myself about it. So that's all. I think simplifying affirmations is important for people because, like you, Ian, you're not alone. Most people don't believe affirmations are real and they feel weird doing it. And plus, most people don't live alone. And if you don't live alone, you could be judged really harshly if you're in front of your mirror saying, I am strong, I am powerful, I am good, you know. And you know what? To each their own. But still, do so in the best ways that you find inspiring.
Yeah. Love that. And just sticking with the reading just kind of hit me that I think it's almost better to read than to memorize, because when I read it, I'm thinking about it. When I memorize it, sometimes it's just no thought involved. So again, being conscious of what we're doing. Not going through the motions, but being aware that the motion we're going through has an effect that's going to benefit us, and keeping Absolutely. That at the forefront of our mind. Speaking of forefront of our mind, visualization is the next one. And it says here, rehearse in your mind, performing at your best. And I'm moving into that some. One of the first things I do in the morning is, okay, I pull up my phone and I pull up my calendar and I see what I have scheduled for the day, because I need to look at that several times in the day so I can remember what's going on. But when I look at it first thing in the day, there is a little bit of visualization of those appointments I have set up, those tasks I have to do. And I can look at them and say, oh, I got all this stuff to do today. Or I can look at it and say, okay, 9 o'clock, I've got this one. Okay, I can see myself doing great there. 10:30, I've got to go over here. Okay, I can see myself walking into this office to meet with this person. and I can see the smile on their face. Okay, that's good. And I can look at these things going on and even just do a short visualization. And I'm saying short things because I'm learning all this, and I'm sharing the baby steps that I'm doing with this one. But visualization, you know, I'm a fan of it and how much it can do for us. And I don't have time to go through all the great stories of people who have taken visualization to such a level that they've improved their performance without physically practicing things. And just that visualization has helped them. But I'm just going to say, for me, visualizing parts of my day in the morning in a positive way gets me excited about these things to happen. And I think it bleeds over from affirmations, from saying it to seeing it within my mind in a positive way. Because it takes positivity. It takes conscious thought to not say, "Ugh, I have to go to the DMV today." And instead say, "I've got half an hour to stand in line. That there's nothing else I have to do. I've got this free time to plan my day, to read, to listen to music for half an hour with no distractions at the DMV." how we look at it, how we visualize the things coming up. The same thing is going to happen in the day. We can't control the things that are going to happen, but we can control how we feel about them. Excuse me. And we can control how we anticipate them if we take time to consciously visualize a positive side. So there's my, excuse me, my throat here. There's my thought on it. And I will get a drink while you're talking.
Sounds great. I'll agree and share that visualization for me is everything. As a retired athlete, as a entrepreneur, as a business owner, visualization is so important. But I won't take too much time because again, it takes a minute for everybody to understand it. I'll share my screen and I'll just share a quick thing. If you guys want a really great resource on visualization, just go to Spotify or whatever, however you listen to your podcasts. And the other Champion Circle podcast is called The Circle of Knowledge. I think you can see my screen right now. And it's a champion mindset training. It's a breathing and visualizing exercise led and guided by me. It's got some great tools and resources, but it's a 6 minutes and 50 second breathing exercise to help you visualize your results. And yeah, I did this for a lot of high level athletes, and it was mostly prepared for the opportunity for people to see the results. But you can do the exact same breathing exercise and training to visualize your day, to visualize the results of your goals and so forth. And I highly recommend it. Go check it out. Spotify, you can just look up the Circle of Knowledge podcast and you'll see it there. It's a champion mindset training. But what I wanted to add to visualization is really the most important part here is you get to experience the power of mentally rehearsing yourself showing up at your best self. And the brain is the most powerful tool, organ, and device that we have been gifted, given, and bestowed by God and all the things that came into this world. And your brain has the ability to see, and you can visualize things. I have had recently, when I'm doing my visualization exercises, like overwhelming, powerful experiences, emotional even, because I finally get clarity on who I am, what I'm becoming, and what I need to be at my best self. And visualization, honestly, is a blueprint. It's a map for your daily practices. So I'll leave it at that because I know we still have a few more to quickly go over, and we'll probably be going a little bit over longer than we usually do. But I think these are very powerful examples, and we're giving away a lot of great resources.
Yeah, they are. And I'm going to tell one of your stories.
Please do.
With your permission, before I even tell you what the story is. But this is a powerful one you shared, and I'm going to say it really briefly. But one of your athletes in track and field ended up winning one of the races. And I'm telling the story, so we don't go into so many details that you're going to do. But she won, and she was being interviewed at the end, and you mentioned you were kind of trying to eavesdrop and see what she said. And they asked her, you know, how did it feel to win that race? And her answer was, well, I'd already won it in my mind because I had visualized myself doing this. And I know you tell the story better, but I told it quicker.
It's a great summary. I love it.
You can create these great. Well, thank you. You can create these positive experiences ahead of time so that you're expecting them. And so often in life, you get what you expect in life. And that visualization is the start to that. But moving along, exercise. So I've been struggling to do that more in general because I am way out of shape and grossly in need of exercising more. But I picked a morning exercise that I'm starting to do now and, again, still learning with it. But I felt it fit into a lot of this. And the one I chose is Tai Chi. So I started doing Tai Chi. And one, Tai Chi is sometimes called moving meditation. It's a very slow moving. A lot of my silence time is also in that exercise. There's usually, you know, I've got a little app on my phone that shows me the movements, and there's some meditative music going on. And as you're doing it, it does free your mind to just be in silence, be in the moment. You know, I'm not a wake up, get pumped, you know, not going to be there with a speed bag first thing in the morning boxing. So for me, this, it gets some movement. It gets, it's a quiet start to the day. Cause I'm, again, this is different for everyone. I have trouble jumping straight into something. But I found with just a shout out to Tai Chi, and I was talking to John about this before it, so often our movement is within a certain box. We don't stretch, we don't move beyond a certain amount in our normal movements. We go from, you know, we extend as far as the keyboard in front of us or as far as the glass we're reaching for. And Tai Chi stretches beyond that. And it's amazing the feeling I get with a 5 second stretch, reaching as high as I can. I get an energy, it starts to wake me up. But that idea of initial movements, if you roll out of bed and shuffle to the bathroom, I don't feel like I'm accomplishing things. But if I consciously stretch and move outside of that comfort zone, it feels good. So my shout out, try Tai Chi. There's millions of YouTube videos that'll teach you how to do it out there. But from a young guy who's in better shape than I am and a former decathlon athlete, almost the world's greatest athlete, or at least one of the world's greatest athletes, as the title of decathlon champion. What's your exercise in the morning? What can I aspire to be able to reach for, John?
You know, it's simpler than you think, because while I highly, highly recommend going to the gym, practicing, you know, HIIT exercises or calisthenics, which means no weights, just body stuff like push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, side planks, all that kind of stuff. While I highly recommend all of that and getting into a habit and a healthy routine of exercising daily, doing calisthenics, HIIT, which stands for high intensity, another I word, I don't know, something training, you know, resistance training is so powerful for the brain and the mind. But you brought something up that's so cool, and I want to highlight that, because any type of power posing, movement, is so magical for the body. And although I have this extensive knowledge on workouts and training, what I'd highly recommend for anybody, first of all, like I mentioned before, during my silence, I like to roll my ankles and roll my hands and do a little hand yoga. Like, movement is medicine. I learned that from one of my clients. Movement is medicine. And if you can think of it that way, or movement is magic, right? Just moving is important. If you want to, like, just lay on your back and move your legs up and down so that you're moving your knees, you know, without pressure or anything like that is important. But you brought up Tai Chi, which is amazing. Hal Elrod in the book Miracle Morning, he talks about how his main form of exercise now is just yoga. He loves yoga. And because Anthony Robbins, or Tony Robbins, the world's most well-known motivational speaker, he talks about power poses and how, you know, stretching and power poses and making yourself bigger have dramatic changes in your self-help, health, and your well-being. And I can completely concur with all of that. So yes, go to the gym if you can. If that's not part of your regimen, if that's not part of your routines, something simple like you can do at home. Another great resource is Netflix. Everyone has a Netflix account, unless you live under a rock, right? And if you don't, I applaud you, because, you know, again, eliminate the distractions in your life. But Netflix or any streaming service has, you know, 5-minute workouts, 10-minute workouts, things that you can stand in front of the TV and have someone guide it for you. Because I will admit, exercise, you have to get motivated to do it. Usually you have to put yourself in a place where you get motivated, and it's hard to self-motivate. So why not have someone else motivate you? A TV screen with a person who is a personal trainer, and they can do some great stuff. I just recommend simplifying the process for you so you can get up and do some movement. So if I were to change the acronym in any way, I wouldn't say exercise is exercise. I would say exercise is movement. So get up and move around and you'll be great. Now, I'm not saying that moving around means just like getting your breakfast ready and doing all that stuff. Like, intentional movement is really, really what's going to help you with the saber.
Yeah. I like that. As you were talking with yoga, said, movement, do it, you must. No, that's Yoda, not yoga. Sorry, I got those mixed up. Bad attempted joke there. But to move from perhaps the opposite of exercise, in my mind, the next one is reading. And I'm going to admit, when I first read this, I was thinking, okay, I struggle to get going in the morning. So the idea of getting up in the morning and sitting down and reading a book is counterintuitive to me. Like, that's going to put me back to sleep. Mm-hmm. But there is something about, I guess, you move and your exercise gets your body going. Reading something can get your mind going. And again, I'm pointing out baby steps that I've taken. I try not to go on social media first thing in the morning. I do go through my email and read it. And a lot of my email that comes through, because most people I work with aren't sending me emails at 2 a.m. When I get up in the morning, the email is some of the news articles and news emails that I get. So I read the news, not political commentary, but actual news, like events that happened, not talking heads out there. Again, this is a baby step, not where I need to be, but it's a start for me, where, you know, I get overnight articles on things that interest me. One is archaeology. This is not a motivational make me a better person, but it is a open my mind and make me think, get my mind working, stretch my mind beyond where it normally would be, first thing in the morning. And I think that's I'm sharing baby steps that work for me. And throw out to any listeners, love your ideas. Please comment with your ideas, what works for you, or why I'm completely off base and should be fired from this job for what I'm saying, you know, whatever your thoughts are. But to me, being intentional is the core of all of these ideas. So if I'm intentionally reading anything that I'm doing to open and expand my mind, I think is going to be a positive. So again, I'm looking to my mentor and guru here, John, for the next step. Once I've been able to read the cereal box in the morning and taken that step, what's the next step? What's going to get me motivated and ready for the day beyond learning how to read in general?
Well, I love reading all the text on cereal boxes. You learn quite a bit of stuff about pop culture, but I will say that books, magazines, holy scripture, literature, even in the simplest form, like poetry, if you wanted to be that boring, dictionaries and encyclopedias, like those are all incredible things to begin reading. And Hal Elrod describes this in a really cool way. He says, you know, if it's 10 minutes, 10 pages, or whatever it needs to be, or 10 words, or 10 sentences, or 10 paragraphs, he says, start small and work your way up. But reading puts the brain in a place. And if you kind of do a psychological math equation here, and you see, like, okay, we begin our day with silence, we move into affirmations, then we do some visualization, then we move into some movement and exercise, and now we're reading. You're training your brain to do a series of events and sequences that allow it to be in the best state possible for future success. That's the psychological equation that we're creating here. So nothing that Hal says is revolutionary or new to the world. They're just organized in a way that make it revolutionary, because now it's a methodology that helps people make a difference in their life. So reading is very, very important. I struggle with this, honestly, because like you, Ian, I associate reading with getting ready to go to bed or hunkering down or closing down my day. And so I limit myself to about 5 to 10 pages in the morning, and I do the same at night. So, but if you do the math and you do about 10 pages a day, each day for a year, you've read over, you know, 3,520 something pages. So that's several books in there. I'm sure it's 5 or 6 books in the year, depending on the length and size of your books. But if you just do 10 pages a day, or 10 minutes, or even just 10 paragraphs, you're gonna find yourself in a peak mental state to really miraculously change your lifestyle. And that's what it's all about. So it doesn't really matter where the source comes from. Highly recommend you do what's comfortable for you. But if you do pick a book, you know, don't get paralyzed in the analysis of which book and how do I do it and how often. Just pick something that's comfortable and start there, and you'll be in a great place. Magazines are great. I love these brought up archaeology, because it's an interesting fact that stretches your mind in a really cool way. So starting your day out with really cool and interesting facts and interest and intrigue is a great way to psychologically train your brain to say, I am ready for the day.
Yeah, I love that. And I was just going to point out, the phone book is a great one to read as well. It's got an amazing cast of characters. The plot's a little thin, but the cast is way up there. And again, reading, being intentional, just reading something. And I remember talking to someone in a church a while ago, and kind of came to the idea that, you know, if you read one verse of a scripture a day and you think about it and learn from it, that's better than reading 20 pages a day that you don't pay attention to.
Exactly.
Or that you're not learning from. And I would go as far, you know, there's great books to read. And I always go as far as, if you're reading anything, you know, pick up your romance novel or your light reading thing, and it still expands your mind. It allows you to visualize things and think about things and picture the storyline going in it. obviously reading great books like Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod is a great one to read. But baby steps, read anything. And I guess the opposite of reading is writing. So I'm going to use that as a segue to the last section, which is scribing. Reflect, track progress, and cultivate gratitude. And once again, I'm struggling to get this one going. And I was excited this morning looking at this, preparing to say, hey, in the morning, I write down things in my calendar. I'm writing something. Baby step. But I'm reflecting on what's going to happen. I'm looking at what I did the last couple of days. There's some gratitude in there. I need to really do a journal, and a gratitude journal is another of those that I know is correct, but don't believe. And I'm going to stop and go to my example on that. All of these things I know, like the affirmations and the scribing and gratitude, I know those work, but I struggle to believe they work. And I came up with an example a while ago to explain the difference. I know absolutely that flossing is going to help my teeth to be healthier. But do I floss every day? Like I tell the dentist, well, not every day, because I haven't got to believe that it works. Even though I know it works, I don't believe it works. And if make that distinction. I know these things work, but if I'm not acting on it, it's because I haven't convinced myself to believe they work. And the gratitude journal is one that I've really set up, and I've been pushing my wife to do one, even though I haven't started yet, because I know it will work. And the more we see positive things, the more we'll see positive things. The more we look for positive things, the more we'll see them. And sorry, I see you smiling at me and nodding, and you probably know I'm going to go through another story right now. But
I agree. I love it.
And this is kind of going into gratitude. One of the most life-changing realizations I had. And when you're in a hurry and you're driving and you hit every red light, right? We all experience that. Somehow, and it's been so long ago, I first thought, I forget where the idea came from. But I hit a green light when I was in a hurry. And I said out loud, thank you. Now, I don't know if that was to the electricity company, to the speedometer, to God, to the universe, or what. Who I said it to is irrelevant. But I said, thank you. And I noticed that I hit a lot more green lights. And I try and do this as much as possible. Whenever I hit a green light, I say, thank you. I whisper it or say it out loud. And I seem to hit a lot more green lights. Now, in my mind, logically, I know that I'm not hitting more green lights than I did before, but I'm noticing those green lights. And because I'm noticing those green lights, I'm a lot happier in my life overall, every aspect of it, because I see those green lights and I'm thankful for them. So the same thing with a gratitude journal. And my baby step maybe is just trying to look at some of the things I'm thankful for, even if I don't take time to write them down. When I see something good, when I get up in the middle of the morning and on the way to the bathroom, I stub my big toe on the chair, I'm so grateful it wasn't my little toe, because that would have really hurt. Seeing the little things that make us happy. You reach for the milk and you have just enough milk for your cereal. Say thank you out loud that it worked out just right. Or I'm pouring the milk into my cup and it goes just to the top of the cup and it doesn't overflow. It's like, wow, isn't that great that there was just the right amount? Gratitude is the tiny, tiny things in our life. And when we start saying thank you for those tiny things that have no influence whatsoever on our life, like whether it was a red light or a green light or how much milk was left in the carton, they don't affect our life. They're not going to change anything in our life. unless we stop and say, thank you for that tiny little thing. And we'll start realizing how many absolutely wonderful things are happening in our life. And just how beautiful life is, whether it's an aesthetically pleasing tree that we drive by one day, or a sunset that we happen to glance out the window and see. Being grateful. And I know this is scribing, not gratitude, and I've gone off on a tangent about something not doing what I'm supposed to and writing it down. But I'm going to say the first step is notice things. And the more you take time to notice them, the more you're going to see more and more of them. And if you write them down, you will have proof that those things happened. So there's my baby step. So once again, my guru and mentor and leader and friend, John, now that I've started this, what's my goal, and how have you made this something that I should aspire to?
Well, no, I love the idea. I love the idea of a gratitude journal, because scribing isn't just like journaling. I think a lot of people like what you shared about affirmations, like it's hard to accept the idea of affirmations, because it does seem like a bunch of self-motivational mumbo jumbo, but journaling is also widely, it's widely thought of in that same degree, because if you think about it, a lot of men don't journal because they grew up knowing and learning that girls who write in their diaries was very feminine, right? And so it's very hard for certain demographics to figure out that journaling is a really, really healthy practice. But just like exercise, yoga, tai chi, good dieting and eating, journaling is one of the most powerful mind exercises and body exercises, because it really does take you to a psychological place. Hal says that scribing is like keeping a journal to deepen your gratitude, to gain insights, to track progress, and to increase your productivity by getting clear on your top priorities. So whether scribing is journaling or literally just writing things down in your day planner, it can be as simple as that. I like to write down a thought. I like to write, and it varies day to day. Lately, I've just been writing in my journal or my daily planner. Sometimes I need to write down what I need to get done that day so I don't deviate from it. That's important because I have ADHD. If I have one thing to focus on each day and I get that one thing done, I'm that much more progressive in my goals. But for those of you who are working with us on your 90-day sprint goal or your desire statement, you know, even just writing that down or reviewing it, making yourself aware, like Ian said, that's powerful stuff. What I have learned is that we as humans, we are so knowledgeable, and knowledge is absolute power. And the more you write things down, you will surprise yourself. I have like gone through old boxes of stuff that I've written down, and I'd open it up and I'd be like, oh my gosh, like, wow, I can't believe I wrote that. That's incredible. And then that led to, so many other just impactful and impressive things. My internet's lagging, so I see us both frozen here, but I just want to confirm you can still hear me. And I'll wrap up by just saying that whether it's big or small. Yes. Okay, great. The most important thing here is to just write things down, or like Ian said, make yourself aware, bring awareness to it. And there are so many countless apps on your phone or programs on your computer where you can get into the habit of writing or scribing or authoring or even just taking things and journaling them down. But really, you have everything you need. And my screen literally just went blank and then refreshed. So hopefully you heard all of that, but I'm going to end here and just say the savers were created to psychologically create a repetition that creates ultimate success. And it helps you in so many different areas of your life. And hopefully I didn't lose you guys there. My internet just cut out for a second, but I really am a big fan of this.
Yeah, thank you. I could hear you the whole time. The screen froze, and for those of you watching this, there was a great image of your background, but you're not in it anymore, so we only had your background. So it looks like you're in another room. To wrap that up again, the word I picked for my word of the year this year is do, because I found my weakness is I love to learn things. I love to read things. I love to say things. Don't always love to do the things that I know I'm supposed to be doing. And the Savers is part of this. And I've confessed my lacking in all of these acronyms as we've gone through them and how I'm getting into it. But again, if we do these things, the tools are here, the ideas are here. This book lays out very practical applications, and our next podcast on this book, where we wrap it up, is going to be focusing on some of the specific tools that we can use that are laid out in the book and tools that we found in our own life to help these out. But the first step is to do some of these things. And a kind of a foreshadowing of next week, one of the things he talks about is you can do a 6-minute morning. Spend 1 minute on each of these things. We all have 6 minutes. And just start to actually do this. And once you do it, you accomplish things. And it's amazing how fast we're able to improve. A final example from my side, trying to get in better shape, I started doing planks, and they're horrible if you've ever done planks. And I'm drastically out of shape. So I did them, and at 30 seconds, I was shaking and struggling. But I did that. And at the end of a week, I was going for a minute without much problem. Very quickly, we can learn some of these things and be strengthened in these once we actually do it. Now, not to put down visualization, but I could visualize myself doing planks for a year, and I still wouldn't be getting better at them if I didn't actually go and do them. So I encourage everyone, first of all, pick up a copy of this book, whether you go to the library and get it or download it or ebook or physical copy. Start looking at it and start trying to apply these principles. Start doing these six Savers steps. And one of the great ways to get doing them is to tune in to our next episode, where we talk about practical applications, tools, helps, apps, planners, whatever it is that we're doing, timers, to help us do these steps to improve our lives and start the day right or end the day right with the Savers evening or miracle evening, if that's what works for you. But thank you, all of you, for listening. A huge thank you to John for joining and being with us today and for your insights.
Thank you for having me.
Again, we are brought to you by Champion Circle, where you can accelerate your life and your business by taking advantage of the mastermind methodology, teachings of Napoleon Hill, accountability, and some really great people to help us all along with that. You can find out more about us at mychampioncircle.com. If you would like to talk to us, share ideas and thoughts, have books that you would like us to discuss on this, you can reach us by emailing us, easiest way, at info@mychampioncircle.com. Again, info@mychampioncircle.com. Feel free to leave comments below telling us how wonderful we are and how good we look and how your life has changed for the better by hearing us. That's what I love to hear. But any ideas, thoughts, tools that have helped you, experiences you've had using these principles that have improved and increased your life, love to hear about those things. So with that, I will close and thank you all. Oh, and again, thank you, John, for joining today. And everyone day ahead of you, if this is the evening, you've got a great night's sleep ahead of you. Thank you, and we'll talk to you next time.